The problem isn't just Judith Miller. This is Geoff Parrish. As I record this, the country's political class waits with bated breath for possible indictments from Special Prosecutor Patrick Fitzgerald. But one of the more fascinating subplots to this week's Capitol Hill Death Watch has been the sudden public ferocity with which colleagues and bosses have turned on New York Times reporter Judith Miller. Miller is the Times reporter who spent 85 days in jail this summer before reluctantly testifying to Fitzgerald's grand jury about the details of two meetings with Scooter Libby, Vice President Dick Cheney's chief of staff. The details of her testimony could be key in indicting Libby, particularly the revelation that Libby dropped the name of CIA agent Valerie Plame weeks before her husband, former Ambassador Joseph Wilson, went public with his criticisms of the Bush administration. Miller went to extraordinary lengths to protect Scooter Libby and his boss, but that should come as no surprise. Prior to her jail stint, she was best known for a series of front-page articles in the New York Times during the run-up to the invasion, all painting lurid pictures of Iraq's non-existent chemical, biological, and nuclear weapons programs, all based on the testimony of various Iraqi exiles and senior White House officials with axes to grind, all completely fictitious. Now, Miller's bosses are charging that she never came clean with them about her meetings with Libby, and her abrasive personality, the sort of personality a woman isn't supposed to have, has resentful colleagues coming out of the woodwork now that she's down. But the real beef of her journalistic brethren, 2 years after the fact, seems to be that, as she admits, Miller got the story seriously, completely wrong. Maureen Dowd, in a Savage syndicated column this past weekend, sniffed that investigative journalism isn't stenography. But it's not investigative journalism that gets you lucrative gigs at prestigious outfits like the New York Times. The Times, the Washington Post, and a very small handful of other media outlets are the stenographers of choice for America's power elite. Because so many other wire services and media outlets base stories on what these papers publish, the result is that America's mainstream media is suffused with credulous accounts of public policy, accounts often planted without either attribution or accountability for political purposes. Don't believe it? Look at the coverage this week of Fitzgerald's probe. With little to do but speculate, endless stories advancing the minutiae of the case have spun forth, almost all of them based alternatively on senior administration officials or lawyers close to the case. Without any knowledge as to who is saying what and why, a curious public is left with a bunch of competing noise, not knowing who to believe. The result of this sort of coverage? Eventually, people just tune out. Miller's got to be a little bit mystified as to why all this fuss over her service to power. After all, that's what she was good at, and it's exactly why she was hired and then promoted for 28 years as a star reporter. She didn't get to her position at the New York Times by accident. It took a lot of stenography, a lot of reporting that pleased the people that matter. That's how you cultivate sources, and that's how they give you more stories, in every sense of the word. Miller's transgression wasn't that she got the story wrong, it was that she and her editors misled the public. That's a far graver sin, and a more common one. By leaving out or de-emphasizing vital information, by only quoting one side, by failing to provide context, presumably unbiased media stories all too frequently adhere to the objective truth, in the sense of not telling any whoppers, while still misleading the audience. It may be too much to hope for that these elite media organs will absorb the lessons of Miller's mistakes and reform themselves, but the lesson should be clear for such papers' readers. The disease of Judith Miller is the disease of American media itself. Let the reader beware. From KBCS, for the Pacifica Network, this is Geoff Parrish.